okay, now we're being unfair to ourselves, because we always say that it's our defense. And I'm saying that if we do win the league, it'll give it a lot. It's going to be because of our defense. It's not going to be because of our attack.
Edo, welcome to another edition of the No Choftes podcast on the OLB. I'm your host, Stel, or as people call me, Shay Stel, in the DMs. Re Shay Stel. Fucking no, man. And I'm joined by Roy again. Hello, Roy.
I'm always happy to record this thing with you, especially after a win.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I've lost count how many wins it is. Huh?
Saying that, I think that after I jumped on the show, we didn't lose a game, man. So
I think you're right. But then again, we're what, 16, 17, 18, 19 unbeaten? Dora, I've lost count. I think we were talking before we started recording that our last defeat was against PSV Eindhoven in the 4-0. And since then, it's been like 16 games.
Yeah, I think it's
longer, more than that. So let's go then. Let's go through them. Since we lost against PSV Eindhoven, we beat Buffalo 2-1. That's one. Garmiodisa, we beat Bogodes, Aek, Apollon, and then two draws after that. Then we beat Ethnikos, Enosis, drew against Olympiacos. That's what? Bosadora, that's the guy, isn't it?
So I don't know, man. I wasn't counting.
Zoxa, Neas Haramis, Hermes, Abuel, home and away in the cup. Edo, so what's 15, 16. I've lost count. But in Brazil, we beat Olympiacos 1-0. We've got a revenge. They beat us 1-0 at the Magario, which we probably should have won. We had chances in the second half, which we squandered. And then they came to the Ghazi B and they got a draw, which perhaps they could have done a lot more and come away with a win, something that we discussed on that podcast. But yeah, I'm happy with the victory. A lot of things to discuss in terms of the open play. I wouldn't say the game overall, it wasn't particularly great, but one particular moment stood out most, which obviously we're going to discuss. But yeah, as you said before, playoff time. Depends on who stands up when they piss and who sits down when they piss. You've obviously been more immersed in the Cypriot League than I have over the years. And how does it feel being in Cyprus at this stage of the season when Omonia are challenging for the title? Obviously, I'm here in the UK, so I'm not with other Omonia others. But for you, how's it feel like from a pressure perspective?
You know, honesty, refile. What I'm about to say is the truth. We haven't been contending for the league in many years, so I didn't really feel the pressure of these games, because usually we came in and ranked like fourth, fifth, sixth, whatever. Cheers, by the way.
I've got my cold coffee, but it's not Mr. Brown's.
Yeah, I'm drinking a punk IPA, a brew dog. Ναι ρε φίλε, η πίεση που νιώθεις γενικά στα derbies, ας πούμε, και ειδικά στα playoffs, is there, but it's the second time in many years that, you know, it was last year, obviously, which we didn't have the chance to play these games, and this year, but, you know, the fact that the fans can't go to the stadium, it just sort of, you know, the feeling, man, the feeling, you know. Ακόμα και προχτές, ρε φίλε, που παίζαμε χτες, που παίξαμε, μεχνήθηκα να είναι γεμάτα τα γήπεδα, ρε φίλε. Δηλαδή, ο κόσμος θέλει πολλά να πάει γήπεδο. And obviously, these are games you're waiting for, you're looking forward to play, and it's, like you said, it's going to separate the boys from the men. I'm expecting, you know, 10 derbies, difficult games, in which these games, you know, build character, build mentality. They turn, you know, a normal player into a champion, you know. And even though, don't get me wrong, tactically and as far as discipline is concerned, these things are very important. But these games, I think, are going to be decided also the refuse to lose sort of mentality we approach these games, the will, the determination, the passion, and I think, I'm really looking forward to the games. Yesterday, we started on paper, theoretically, the easiest team out of the lot, even though, like you said, we dropped 5 points against them. I actually thought that, unlike what you said, the first game we did have chances. We had chances. They had chances. I said it before. I don't think it was unfair that we lost, because we could have won and we could have lost. So end the game, the draw. They played really well. It wasn't just the fact that, you know, they sort of found a way to paralyze our midfield. They're physical. They play with a lot of men. Μες στο κέντρο. Παίζουν μας γλίωρα. Έχτες έλα να μας παίξουν γλίωρα. Έκαναν μες πολλές ευκαιρίες. Look at both the games. They created a lot of chances. Like Olympiacos in a game created more chances than like maybe four teams have created στα μάτς της Ομονίας. And that, and they were playing football, ρε φίλε. And also, έπαιζαν καλά, έπαιζαν καλά, έπαιζαν γλίωρα, έπαιζαν τακτικά σωστά. Και I think that we tried to surprise them. The game yesterday was similar to the game that we drew. Some parts, yes, some parts, no. Firstly, we started with a 4-4-2 with the usual suspects. We say the same thing every game, that, you know, there's no surprises there. He seemed to have found a group of 15, 16, 17 players.
Yeah, but you know, you say that. I was surprised to see Loizo play wide right, because if you remember against them in the first game at the Macario, he was terrible. And I'm not ashamed to say it. He was dreadful. And I couldn't believe Henning Berg kept him on for 80-odd minutes. He was very, very ineffective. But I think yesterday he saw more of the ball, and he was doing a lot more of what he should have done in the first game, and that's attack defenders, run at them, because yeah, he's very, very difficult to stop. He was brought down 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, especially the second half, because stepping into the game, I think we tried to... Olympiacos has proved that is a team that builds their confidence during the game. I mean... You remember last game, the first 20 minutes, we dominated the game. We tried to get an early goal. They just threatened us from like shots from outside the area. But slowly, slowly, they started building confidence and they thought that they can get something out of the game. Και παίξασαν με κόσμο, γεμώσαν το κέντρο τους πολλά, εκόψαν μας το ζαμέ, παίζασαν με ταχύτητες. Και for the most part of that game, they were better than us. And we both agreed that we might have been lucky that game to get the draw. Yesterday, I think similarly, we tried to get an early goal. We tried to dominate the first 10, 12, 15 minutes as Pumen. We didn't threaten them, but we stepped into the game thinking that that's what we wanted. We wanted to get them off balance. We wanted to get a goal so we made things easier for us. We didn't. And it was as if after the 15th minute, we turned off a switch and Olympiacos just dominated the game. Maybe it wasn't translated into, you know, a shitload of chances created, but they were faster on the ball. They were first on the ball. We couldn't create. We couldn't hold on to the ball. Ekelisando Lejax, we tried to play the first few minutes on the right-hand side, but we weren't really good. We were slow. We were predictable. We were easy to defend. And I was thinking to myself, what can we do? What can we change? Because I don't want to change 4 players like we did, you know, with Abuel. I was thinking 1-2 players, should we do something internally? Should we change formation? And I thought that what happened is έπρεπε να βάλουμε our wings να έρθουν να βοηθούν μέσα στο κέντρο. And this is what we did. We were lucky to score a goal early on. It wasn't like a team build-up. It was a beautiful goal, amazing goal. Got Kusu Lori and all over it because he stole the ball and he volleyed the ball. No keeper could have stopped that ref there. It was amazing. Αλλά ναι, νομίζω ότι μετά που μπήκαν τον goal, ρεφίλε, μετά που βάλαμε τον 1-0, just things fell into place. Went back to να διαχειριστούν το παιχνίδι. We created another few chances. Olympiacos didn't do much, so we defended really well. We created 3 or 4 chances, two with Chepa, I think, and with a header from Michael, from Lufner. And we held the win comfortably. So, and we kept a clean sheet. But, no, it was a bit disappointing the first half. But the second half, I can say I'm pleased. We got the goal, we got the win. E perasame din ael, puidam bubanomas, which is important because of the pressures on them now. We're waiting for the game of Anorthosi and Apollon as well. And we'll see.
What do you think of the game? Well, in all fairness, I thought it was a pretty fair game. Evenly matched up until we took the lead. You're right, Olympiacos had their spell of pressure, but there wasn't really anything for us to worry about, was there, in all fairness? There were more threatening...
chances, maybe one. Yeah. One out of two. I thought, anyway, the game finished then. I think they had just two shots on U.S. Guerrillas, and I think one was on target. So we did really well to defend and not let them create chances, even when they held the ball like the first. Because I think Olympiacos was better than us from like the 15th minute till the end of the first half, but they weren't scary. They weren't. It was just that we weren't. And επεζάμε, όσον καλά μπορούσαμε να παίξουμε, καταλάβες. Και ύστερα που αλλάγαν τον γόλ, ούλα πράγματα έρθαν στον τόπο τους. Yeah, so, sorry, because I διάκοψα.
It's all right. It's all right. Well, the way I see it is we went there to do a job. And I think because of the stage of the season we're at now, it's going to be even finer margins than it was throughout the season. You know, if we drew out the Godes, well, we've always got them again in the league, you know, so we can make up with that. Or if we lost a game, then we've still got X amount of games left to make it up. Now we're in the playoffs, the game completely changes. You're more cautious. You're perhaps not going to throw caution to the wind as much. But at the same time, that also applies for all the other teams. Now, forget Ajax's result the other day. Ajax had 10 men for 80 minutes. Yeah. You know, so for me, that's a bit of a full scoreline. It's a big scoreline for them, for their confidence. But for me, this game against Olympiacos was more important because this is a team that, as we mentioned before, they gave us two very, very difficult games this season and we had to get a win. And as for Gusolo's goal, the one thing I will say about Gusolo is I was getting quite frustrated with him first off because he was holding on to the ball for too long. And the other day, I was saying about how Apoel were trying to rattle him and they were trying to get him angry and get him to bite. And they were shutting him down really, really fast. But then they also give me a few kicks every now and again. But against Olympiacos, they didn't let him play. And he gave the ball away a fair few times. And I was thinking, this might go the wrong way because he loves playing the ball sideways or backwards.
Yeah.
And if he gets shut down, then that's a misplaced pass and then Gadishimas, you know. But his goal was absolutely phenomenal. The way that he took the ball, he beat the defender, the midfielder, brushed him off the ball like he was a packet of Dragolinha. Es Proxendon. You know, when there's an empty packet of Dragolinha that's blowing in the wind. That was the midfielder. Es Proxendon, you know. Yeah, and then he just absolutely, he walloped it. And the thing is, I think, when you know... In football, they say sometimes a footballer hit the ball too well, right? He makes too much of a connection. But his connection was too perfect. And as you said, no goalkeeper was going to save that. No chance whatsoever. And when a team scores a goal like that out of nothing, it completely deflates the opponents. Yeah. Because they're like, what the fuck was this, man? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And again, I hate saying this, right? No, I do. I like saying this, actually. Forget what I just said. I love saying this because we keep saying, we said last week.
No.
Again, we said that in this league, once Omonia takes the lead against any team, the rest, they struggle to come back. It's almost as if they just give up the ghost because, you know, they're going to go down against Omonia. There's no coming back. Look at Ajax. We went to their ground, went a goal up. They had three or four great chances beforehand. We took the lead, game over. And that's it. That's how it works. Because that's the presence that this club has, that these players have.
I agree. They seem to sort of accept their fate. It's as if, you know, the minute Omonia scores the first goal, okay, might not be done with the first goal, but especially if we score a second one, but it's as if the game finishes for the opponents. It's just the rest of the minutes being played are just a playa de yo soy rechnidi. It's similar, I feel it. I think we got the game covered. I think, what do you think? Okay, I agree that Olympiacos felt like deflated when they conceded the goal, but I thought that ότι έβαλαμε και τα φτερά μας να παίζουν λίγο, να έρθουμε στο κέντρο μέσα. But I don't really wanna. I don't know. Do you wanna analyze? Do you wanna? What do you think? Change? Okay, obviously the goal was the decider, as per man. Allah, what else did you see tactically or otherwise from the game that stood out?
I think with this game, right? What I noticed, the big difference I noticed between this one and the last two games against Olympiacos, especially the one at the Gazipi, was that at our place they were more physical and they were closing us down a lot more. But this game, it's almost as if they gave us more time on the ball. I saw Jordi with a lot more time on the ball. Lejac and Duxi, he was closed down, but he seemed to have more time on the ball, not to get forward, but at least to play a square pass or play a diagonal pass. Ernest was drifting out wide a lot more in this one, which then allowed Shepherd to get more central. And I think the system that we played was pretty much spot on, because against them at our place, it seemed, as I said, it seemed that they were more physical. But in this one on Sunday, I'm losing my days, Laura, right? Yeah. It's almost as if we had the freedom of the pitch in the second half. First half, they were a lot more physical, but second half, we had a lot more freedom of the pitch, which obviously let us play our game. But in all fairness, right, it was always going to be a difficult game. It was never going to be a 2-3 or 4-0 scoreline. It was only going to be one goal if it wasn't going to be a draw, you know? And I think that's pretty much the pattern that we're going to have to expect from this Olympiacos team moving forward, because we've seen them progress so rapidly in the past 18 months. I'm not saying that they're going to be challengers next season, but you can see them being regulars in the top six, especially if the likes of Aboel and Buffer do not step up.
I can see that. Okay, even though you know that Isorobia's electors, the balances are very, the teams up until the last game, there were like 4 or 5 teams competing for the sixth spot there. But yeah, I can see that this is something we can discuss, maybe say a little podcast about. Generally, when we have like the review of the league this far, I don't know if we will have the opportunity to do it because we've got a shitload of things coming our way. And we also owe the review of the players' appearances this far. Slowly, another gamble, ref.
Yeah, you're right. Well, look, I'll tell you what, before, I mean, we can talk about the playoffs all we like, but they're coming thick and fast. We've got the Godes next, and then we've got the Coca-Cola Cup game against Aboel, haven't we? So that's going to be a tricky one. Then after that is AEL away at Sirio. So that's going to be a difficult one. But look, we're going to be discussing those, don't we? But since PSV Eindhoven, I think it's 16 unbeaten in all competitions. Yeah. And that was a 4-0 loss at PSV Eindhoven. And after that, we've gone 16 unbeaten, 10 clean sheets out of 16 games. I know there have been certain people that have been unhappy that we haven't spoken about the defence, which is understandable because we haven't been too vocal about them. Yeah. What I will say is that perhaps we got so used to us keeping clean sheets that it's like a regular thing for us. So we kind of take it for granted, you know? And I think obviously that's something that we need to improve on, but I will say 10 clean sheets out of 16 games is absolutely remarkable. And we've got a back four or a back five or 7 players that can play in defensive positions, and we can feel comfortable to say, he'll come in and he will do a job. This one will come in, he'll do a job. That one, it doesn't matter who we put in that back four. It's almost as if they're all singing from the same song sheet, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, Refile. And ωραία η πάσα που μου έδωσες, επειδή I wanted to talk about this thing. We've said many times that, you know, if we do win το πρωτάθλημα or the κύπελλο, it's mostly going to be because of our defensive ability, the solid defense we show, the mentality, which started since last year, but it has been, as pume, perfected this year. And one of the reasons, I think, is even though I agree with what you said, I'm going to add to what you said that we managed to keep Fabiano, Lang, Luftner, Hubert Chan, and we've added Seu to this line. And okay, Kiko, who, whenever he's played, in fairness, he's just, I think Kiko's just unlucky that he's got Lejeux in front of him, because otherwise he would have been a very important player for any team. And even Panayiotou played a few games, the youngster, he was good. But it's what you said. I think we take for granted how good our defense is, and we just complain about not scoring more goals, and we keep forgetting that, you know, they've been phenomenal, and it's, you know, the way they gelled, and the whole mentality of the team. Because, like I said, I'm the one that usually complains a little bit more between the two of us, but I can't say I've got any complaints from any player, from Duris or Chepa or the wingers or whoever, from their defensive mentality since day one. I mean, they have all, what's the word in English? Thisiasandone aftondus, like they put their egos aside, or their under the team, under the tactics, under the defensive sort of mechanism we wanted to apply starting from the European games. And these players have been phenomenal, all of them, and they managed to absorb the pressure starting from Tom Bortarindus, as Pumen, up until it reached our back four. But you know, I wanna stand a little bit more. Stone, Lang and Luftner. I mean, we didn't really talk about them this year. Has anyone really spoke about them? They've been here since last year. And okay, Thomas as well, Hubert Chan. He came in last year and he was like the third or fourth option. And this year he's become vital. Fabiano has been phenomenal. And I think that for me, he's the MVP. But Michael and Adam have been outstanding, refile. Since last year, they've been playing steadily on a top level. It doesn't matter if they're playing against PAOK, if they're playing against Olympiakos, if they're playing against Karniotis, if they're playing against Tachna. They've been, in their mind, there's no difference in any game. They're professional and they're no-nonsense to defenders. Aerial threat, Kadome Mbala. I'm asking you to tell me one attacker that made their life difficult. One in 2 years. Ένας επιθετικός που τους έδισκόλεψε, ρε φίλε. That they had a hard time.
It's difficult to say, though. It's very difficult. You know? Thinking about it, who really? Dinguini, this season? Did he really do anything at the Sirio? Okay, Ndaxi scored at Ghazibi, but was that really... Again, that goal came from out of nowhere, didn't it?
Okay, but that's what you further make my point. You're trying hard to think if there was...
Well, I could say the PSV Eindhoven game at home at the Ghazi B, where both goals were conceded in the last minute of each half. But again, that's something that what I said at the time, it goes down to fatigue and the mistakes that are made due to players being tired, because you're playing against a team that's a couple stages ahead of you from a fitness perspective. So that's always going to happen. So I can't say that in the 90 minutes, you know, PSV Eindhoven absolutely peppered us and Lang and Luftner were troubled every single time. No, just the mistakes that they made were at the end of each half when they were knackered. And that's normal. So if you want to talk about domestically, I can't think of any striker where I can say, shit, oh my God, we're up against this one this week. Do you know what I mean? If Lang and Luftner or Luftner and Hubert-Chan or Lang and Hubert-Chan are a centre-back, we can play anyone in this league and I won't feel worried at all because I know that they are that good. These are international players there. Yeah. International players. They're not people that we've picked up off the Thalassa playing beach football. You say, Ella, come and play for this club, like other teams, you know? These are players that have played the highest level, Europa League, Champions League, international games. And the thing is, what you said was spot on in terms of you know, having that settled consistency there. Fabiano has played, Bossa, how many out of 38 games, he played 34 this season, right? Ljajac has played 32 out of 38. These are all competitions, by the way. Lufner, 31 matches. Lang has played 29.
And he was out from the corona.
There you go. And I think Hubichan's played 26. Yeah. So this is consistency. All the best defences in the world over the years, they've had a settled defence, whether it be three defenders, four defenders, five defenders. You can name 90% of those players that are playing because you know that is the settled back line. That's the consistency. And that's what gets you clean sheets. Yeah. You could look at ours and we can say Shehu, Lufner, Lang and Ljajac. Or if Lang isn't playing, Hubichan or whoever is, no, yeah. Shehu isn't playing, Hubichan. You just know that when these players come in, they're going to do a job, you know? And even Gusu, when he played centre-back, he does a job. So going back to what you said about how Lang and Lufner haven't received the plaudits that they deserve, I think they're unlucky. And the reason being is because you've had the likes of Cepovic that came in the team and he's hit the ground running. So he's going to get a lot of plaudits. Yordi Gomez, always going to be highly rated because of his style, because of the way that he plays. Ljajac, you know, this season got how many assists? 12, 13? So he's going to get loads of credit. So everyone's going to kind of ignore the two central defenders that keep in the clean sheets because they're not doing anything like standout in terms of like a, I don't know, fireworks and all the stuff.
They're doing all the dirty job.
They do the dirty work. And that's the stuff that matters as much as the bright lights and the fireworks because they're doing the job.
Yeah.
You know, Fabiano, and actually Fabiano's been MVP numerous times and he's deserved it because of the saves that he's made. But it's like what Roy Keane says, you're going to applaud him for doing his job because are you going to applaud the postman for putting the letters through the mailbox? No, because it's his job to be a goalkeeper. But at the same time, he's kept us in matches that we haven't deserved to get anything out of. So he's deserved the MVP awards. But you're right, Lang and Lufner haven't got the plaudits and Hubichan haven't got the plaudits because of how everyone else is performing. Even the kids, Johnny's and Loizzo, they've come in the team. And everyone's like, oh my God, the academy players. And yeah, they've surprised us all because they've come in and they've shown the maturity and the ability that you wouldn't expect from teenagers. But it's kind of overshadowed what Lang and Lufner do because you don't expect them for the kids.
But Nerefine, imagine if you were a scout, you know, and you came and you watched an Omonia game. I think that our best players are all either defenders or defensive midfielders. Look, Fabiano, Estadone Grafes Mesto Viviliosu, if you were a scout. Adam Lang, he's an international. Ne, Lufner, Hubichan, Ljajac, Shehu, international. So I think, you know, it's a long overdue and we had to give credit, even though we never, okay, now we're being unfair to ourselves because we always say that it's our defense. And I'm saying that if we do win the league, it's going to be because of our defense. It's not going to be because of our attack. It's not going to be because of our... But, no, I just thought it's...
Right, defenses win titles, Filemo. Defenses win titles.
I used to... As a youngster growing up, like most of us, you know, I used to love playing attacking football and skillful football, and I like to... But, you know, as I grow older, I respect and appreciate... these players do the Vromi give the dirty work, they run and they put their egos beneath themselves. They play for the name in front of the name in front of the shirt, not the one behind, you know. They don't. I think that it's very important because the reason I wanted to talk about this a little more, I don't know if we've got time. Because we said,
let's go for another 5 minutes. What do you reckon?
Okay, 5 minutes and gala. Fabiano ananeose for another year. And there's already talk that they want to sign him, okay? If someone wants Fabiano, he has to pay us. And like we said, I don't think he's going to leave, or if he does, it's for something a lot better. Let's see. Lang is going to play Stavro Baigon. He saw Bundo. What's the other guy's name? Salai, who played for Apollon. They played together for the Hungarian national
team. Hungarian national team, yeah. He's going to Fenerbahce.
No, be a Fenerbahce. Maybe some teams are going to be looking at Lang as well. But he's got a contract as well. So
And don't forget, they're in the European Championships as well.
Ναι, μα αυτό που σου λέω, ότι είναι να παίξεις το ευρωπαϊκό και να το θωρούν, ρε φίλε. So, you can't really be sure that Adam's going to stay the next season as well. Maybe yes, maybe no, but he's got a contract and he's there. Hubert Chan, the same. He hasn't got a contract, but he's at an age where I think we showed him that he deserves every penny he gets paid. He's a professional. He's been outstanding. He's been very good. But the player, I'm not going to say that holds everything together, but you know, Luftner is a different situation because he's got another year contract with Copenhagen, and they paid I think over $1 million to sign him. And the first year in Copenhagen, he was a regular in the starting 11. Then he got injured, and he stayed out for almost a year. And then I think the manager advised him to come play for Omonia because he knew Berg. He came for 1 year on loan. We managed to renew his contract for one more year. Now he's on his last year contract. And the Danish people are really tough negotiators. I don't think that, you know, they're going to say, oh, okay, you can have Luftner on a free or ice cream. Just give me, I don't know, 50,000, 60,000. It's going to cost a lot. And that's the question, you know. I think that the ability we have from the money earned from the Europa League, we should decide where to spend our money. And I think Luftner has proved himself in 2 years at Omonia, or he's a top-class defender, I feel it. So, yeah, maybe someone can say, we can get someone on a free, or maybe we can give a little bit more to the defender on his contract rather than just splashing it out for a team. But at the end of the day, isn't it the same? I mean, if we decide to spend, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Larku's going to stay and Berg's going to stay. Hopefully, everyone's going to stay. But, you know, I would want our committee to go and you know, negotiate, try and get obviously the best deal they can. But I would like to see Luftner stay still on Omonia, because he's at an age as well where he's got 5-6 years that we can play top level, I feel. And he's enjoying himself at the club, and we've moved to the next level, and we have to start proving ourselves as well financially as well. We have to make some moves that are statements. You know, I know some people say it's the fireworks and this, that, and the other, and you shouldn't splash your money and shouldn't waste your money. But you're not wasting your money. You're giving your money. You know what Luftner can offer to you. This is my opinion, Nefidelic. So I don't know why we're talking about Luftner now, but anyway.
Well, Roy, put it this way, the way I see it is that holding on to the players like Luftner, like Lang, like Shehu, like Lejax, it is for the long-term future at this club. When
some of them have contracts. The reason we're talking about Michael is because Copenhagen is not gonna a thrust of los Idoro. They're not gonna say, here.
No, they're not. But
they're gonna ask for a lot of money.
But it's like you said, the club has made money from the Europa League and the Champions League. There's over 9 million euros made from these competitions, right? Mm-hmm. And I get it. Uncle Baba Stavrou, he wants to bring in players on a free transfer, because let's be 100% honest, we know how this works, right? It's probably better to get a player on a free transfer, because when you're getting a player on a free transfer, you don't pay for transfer fees, you know, and you can probably spend more on his wages and a signing on fee. So he's going to want to join the club more in that capacity. But let's be 100% honest, right? As I said, for the future of this club, for the success of this club, we need to bring in players like Lufna that know the club inside out, that love the club. Whether it be $500,000, and are people going to say, oh, well, $500,000 is a lot of money for Cyprus? Signomi, right? But when Apollon sold Zala for £2.5 million, what did they do? Did they sit on their hands? No. They brought in 2-3 players. Yeah. That's what we need to do. We've got 9 million euro in, sitting in the bank, right? Whether it be for upgrading the training facilities, I don't know what it's for, right? But $500,000 of that, give it to Copenhagen and say, Edo, we want this player.
Yeah.
As I said, for the long-term future of this club, we cannot build anything if we're saying, okay, we'll get this player in on loan for a couple of seasons. He does well, he goes back to his club, and then we look for someone else, and it's going to take them time to come in. Meanwhile, other clubs are looking at Lajax. They're looking at Lang. Look at Abuel when they're winning titles back to back to back to back, right? Look at their squad. And I hate to bring this up, but you could say that they kept a core group of players there. And actually, players were leaving and players were coming, but you could say 5 or 6 players were still there the whole time when they were winning the title. And you could say they could call up on those players because they had that winning mentality. They knew what it was like to play for that club. We need that now, all right? And actually, we didn't win officially the title last season, right? No. But this season, we're going to win it. So that's going to be effectively 2 years on the bounce where we've dominated this league. What, we're just going to let this player go for the sake of £500,000? What is Lufna worth to us long-term? He's 26.
This is the question.
He's 26. He's not 34 or 35 or 37. He's 26. He's still got 10 years in this league.
I feel about it, but that's exactly what I'm trying to say. And it's not just that. You when you go to the next level, you make statements. You know, you are, you say, you know what? I want this player and I'm going to keep him. I want, for example, I want Zahid. I don't know if we will, but sometimes you have to step up and show your balls and say, you know what? We've moved on to the next level. And the next level is, I want this player. He's been absolutely phenomenal. He's been really crucial. He's been very important. And I'm making a statement that I'm back on all levels. You know, I'm not going to sit and count my coins. No, we got the cash, you know, and this is a present to the fans, because a lot of fans are asking me as well about Michael, you know. I was like, I don't know. So basically, we're just talking as fans now, you know. But in this case,
he loves the Michael. Club. He loves the club. Anyone that's watching now, he loves the club. I know this. He loves the club. Yeah. And if the club gave him an offer, he would take this club over anyone else. All right, I'm not saying that he'd take Omonia over like a Barcelona, Real Madrid. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, if we're talking about Omonia or, I don't know, I'm just shooting the dark here. Like, give me a club in the second division of France or like, I don't know, another team.
Even Nerefina.
Ludogorets or I don't know, like fucking these teams, man. Like,
that's the thing, Nerefina. There are teams willing to pay $500,000 or 600,000. I don't know how much Copenhagen wants. Maybe it's, I don't know. Because like I said, they paid over $1 million. So I don't know what their asking price is. So even if we say it's half the money, like from $1 million, that's for $500,000, 600,000. That would be a realistic amount for Lufna, for a player who's, you know, going through his last year of contract. They can't ask for more. I'm pretty sure there are teams out there that are willing to give this money.
Right. If he's in his last year of his contract at Copenhagen, yeah? Right? If he's in his last year, so effectively he can talk to other clubs in January. So what's he's basically in the driving seat right now, because if they wanted him, they'd have said to him, now you're coming back and you're going to play.
Yeah.
They would have done that by now, right?
Yeah.
Or they would have recalled him at the beginning of the season when they had the opportunity to, or even in January when they had the opportunity to. So is he in the club's long-term plans? I don't know. If it's the same manager as what they had when he left last summer, so to speak, is he still going to be in the plans? Look, we don't know. I don't follow that league, okay? So I don't know how well that team is doing, right? But they got rid of Sotirio, didn't they?
No.
He's gone to Ludogorets, isn't he?
No, or Geros,
Yeah, so he's gone. So obviously they're happy to let players go. They're happy to sell players. Look, I don't know the situation. Okay, as far as I'm concerned, you know, we've got him until the end of the season. The club, if the club has the opportunity to sign him, if Copenhagen say, right, we'll give you first refusal on the player, I'll say, Uncle Baba Stavro, please put your hand in your pockets, right? Oh, yeah, I know you got money, right? I don't want to put pressure on the club or get the fans riled up. That's not my intention, right? It's not my intention to get fans like standing outside the stadium saying, ah, there, we need to sign these players. But what I'm saying is, for the long-term future of this club, if we want to progress to that next level and say, right, we're going to win the league this season. Let's say we do the double, Roy. Yeah? Let's say, yeah, paradigma, we do the double, right? Then we go into the Champions League qualifier. Yeah. We prove this season that we can beat these big teams, you know? Yeah. So what's to say that we can't do the same again and then get to the playoffs and hopefully we won't get Olympiacos, right? Yeah. Hopefully that won't happen. But then what? So let's say we do get in the Champions League. How much is that worth to the club with Loughner and Lang at centre-back? I'm just saying, you know, I'll let you continue. I've got nothing else to say on the matter. I'm done with it.
Actually, I agree 100% with you. Like I said, we have to go to the next level and the financial ability to close, you know, players when you want them is a sign that you're growing as a club as well, you know. Plus, I mean, we did, I'm not going to act like I've got inside information from, you know, the accountants at Omonia or what they, but for a player that played 6 games last year, which is Akindola, we were willing to pay a hefty fee. I think it might have been close to $500,000 if what the rumors, you know, if the rumors were true, the hearsay. So if you were willing to do it last year without knowing that you will make it to the group stages, I think that you can do it now. Okay, maybe a defender is not as, you know, attractive as an attacking midfielder, or maybe you can sell an attacking midfielder for a lot more money, because that's, in fairness, Salah went for a lot of money, but, you know, the Turks are people who pay a lot of money. I don't think if he could have gone to another league, if they would have paid this amount of money. But Nerefile, like I said, and I'm repeating myself, and you see best touchable, Lagala Refile. And it doesn't necessarily, we're just talking about Michael now, because Michael is in this situation where he's on loan. And if we want him, and we all agreed that, you know, our defense is probably the reason that we will win trophies this year, and we made it to the European stages as well, the group stages. And we just, you know, apply me this time Yado Michael, because he's out of contract and he's on loan. And, you know, what would you have done? And this is our opinion. This is what we have would have done, I think. And at the end of the day, what you're gonna give the money and say it doesn't work out, you know, he's not as good as he's been the other. So what, man? I mean, what's that long term, you know?
Well, listen, I think this is a question that we need to pose to all of the viewers. Let us know in the comment section what you think. Should Omonia spend the money to bring in Loughner, or would you prefer to look elsewhere? Personally, you know, and I'm sure Roy will agree, Loughner's the man that we need to bring in on a permanent basis. Again, I'm not trying to rock the boat here. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to cause any trouble or, you know, tell people to start messaging the club or start some kind of campaign. I'm just saying, you know, if the money's there, bring him in on a permanent basis. We need him. Like I said, 26 years old, Czech international defender. And let's be 100% honest, and I'm sure Michael's watching, or he might be watching. If this is the club that can help him get to the next level, and in 2-3 years' time, he can go elsewhere for more money and the club can make money, what's £500,000? Yeah. Drop in the ocean, isn't there? So there you go. Everyone's happy. But hey, anyway, let's wrap it up, Roy Moore.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add before we wrap it up? Anything else?
Oh, Refile, not really. Νομίζω είπαμε τα καλά, είπαμε τα ωραία. Λίγο για άλλα πράγματα. So, ναι, τίποτε ρε φίλε, νομίζω το τώρα είναι.
Lovely. There you go. So that's it for another episode of No Choftes. Hit that subscribe button. Tell your nunna. I'm at Shay Stell on Instagram. Roy is at Roy No Choftes. So until next time, Roy.
Yeah. Πάμε σιλάκα μου. Θέλω πρωτάθλημα. Θέλω και κυπέλλω.
Bomba. Double, please. Thank you.
Double.